Good morning. Boy, isn't it a beautiful day in the neighborhood today? Yeah. We've been having fun with Mr. Rogers the last few weeks. I'm Tom Carver. I'm the senior pastor here at the Asbury Church. Pastor Heather Doerr is going to bring our message this morning. Some of you might have seen last night on PBS, there was a Mr. Rogers special, and I think there is a movie or something with Tom Hanks coming out later this week. But we're kind of ahead of the curve here at the Asbury Church doing Mr. Rogers things. I want to begin with announcements that news in the church. Our ushers will have some attendance registration pads. They'll be passing those through the aisles. We invite you to sign those. Also, you'll see we've got our church here in front. This is Consecration Sunday. So many of you would have received in the mail information about the church with a pledge card and an envelope. And so if you have brought your pledge card today and you would like to place it in the church for your 2020 estimate of giving, do that while we pass the peace today. So people be up greeting each other, and you can come and put your offering in the church yourself if you'd like to do that. If you'd rather just have the ushers do it, they'll do it. Main thing is get it in here, and we'll take it. But if you'd rather just put in the offering plate, the ushers will be receiving that later today. But again, just a word of appreciation, all those planning to support the ministry of this church in 2020 and the estimate of giving that we are receiving today. Or you can mail it into the church. Like I say, we'll take it at any time. But those are various options for you today. Also want to share an announcement about the pie sale coming up. Go ahead.
Good morning. Debbie Stell, chairman of the pie sale. Our Thanksgiving pie sale will be this coming Saturday. All orders for the pies must be into the church office no later than the close of the office on Tuesday. Two more days. So please, if you have not turned one in, please do that for us. We have the cran apple pecan, apple raisin pecan, and apple. And they can be made with Splenda. If it's a regular pie, it's $12. A Splenda pie will be $13. And I probably will need some help, and I'll do some calling. And if you're interested in helping with the pie sale on Saturday morning this week, and we're usually there between 7 and 7:30, and then the pies are usually done at least by noon at the latest. So Carol's going to talk to you about the pie sale.
Hi, I'm Carol Jackson, one of your parish nurses. We are doing a new service this winter. I don't know if you've read the almanac, but it's supposed to be as cold, if not colder, than last year. So we're going to start having a warming station for the homeless. And I have found out that these homeless that are out there, no one will take children. So we are going to do adults with children. We're going to have the warming station open when it's minus 30 below or colder. There were 5 days last winter that met in that criteria. So I asked Global Ministry if we can use the money from the pie sale to purchase sandwich material and to buy our own coffee, hot chocolate, and hot tea. But what I'm asking for you is if you can, between now and when it gets that cold, we have two freezers downstairs that are completely empty. If I can have a pot of soup, chili, chicken noodle, or vegetable beef, and some muffins or rolls or cakes that we can freeze ahead, so whenever we have these days, all I have to do is go down the freezer and get the stuff out. But we also need to purchase things, so I asked for the pie sale money, and I am asking for you to help us with other donations. If you'd like to help us with the warming station and come out on those cold days, give me a call. I'll start a list of people I can call on. But it's a new service that the parish nurses are going to start doing this winter. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So I've got my phone out just to let you know, you can order your pies right now, right where you're at. It's incredible. You can go right now and order the pie sale order down at the bottom of the webpage. Put your order in, whether you want Splenda or not, and hit send, and we'll have that. So we won't take offense if you order that right now. But you can see there, you know, we're making use. You can sign up for the photo directory and all kinds of things. We're growing in our use of technology. It's a good thing. And so order your pies right now if you can.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Mitchum. I'd like to introduce Miss Iowa 2019, Emily Tinsman. She'll be singing for us today at both services. Emily's a 2015 graduate of Bettendorf High School and also a 2019 graduate of Drake University. She'll be competing for Miss America this December.
Emily, welcome. Thank you. Yes. All right. Now, I've got a couple others. One is that you'll see the hanging of the greens. We're going to get ready for Christmas. You saw the Christmas decorations. Thank you to the men's group. But you'll see the times of that are there, November the 24th, 1:30 to 3. Anybody can come and help. And also, it's Christmas season. We're getting ready for the bell, ringing the bells at K&K. And so Dave and Dana Nichols will be back here. You can go see them and sign up today. Beginning Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, we're going to be ringing the bell all the time K&K is open. And again, part of our contribution to that. So you can see Dave and Nicole. All right, Bob, it's one more.
Bob Madison with Adult Education. We are doing the Redemption of Scrooge for the Nativity Advent study this year. Just want to let you know that the books are in. They're each one of the entrances of the church. One of the groups is actually starting on Thursday night. The other thing is the Adult Education is sponsoring the Financial Peace University, and that's a trailer showing you what the study is about this coming Wednesday. 5:45 as part of the supper, and that study will actually be going on starting in January. So we hope to see you. If anybody's had any financial changes, new jobs, retirements, anything different, it's a great opportunity to look at your finances and figure out how to best live in today's world. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. You might notice in your pews there is a pray, give, serve cards are there now. Any announcement that we have or invitation for people to serve, you can pull out that serve card, put your name on it and what it is, area you'd like to serve, and put it in the offering, and that'll give us a way to get back in touch with you. The same thing, you can do it right now if you think about it, and that's where you want to serve. This is a great day in the neighborhood. A lot going on. Let's take a few moments now to center ourselves and prepare for worship.
Good morning, neighbor. I ask you to stand for our call to worship.
Lord, you have been our help in generation after generation. From forever in the past to forever in the future.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you have been our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. When the world gets scary and the news makes us lock our doors and close off our lives, we know that you are a rock of protection. Give us a peace that passes all understanding. May we be inspired by your help to be helpers in our world, to go where there is pain and hurting, and provide healing and reconciliation. Amen. One of the great ways that God provides for our security or safety is in his very presence, his spirit, but also in the people that are around us. And so we're going to take some moments now to pass the peace, share the peace. And at this time, if you also want to bring your offering, your pledge for 2020, and place it in the church here, you can do that now. And then we'll gather in just a few moments. So let us greet one another and show God's sign of God's love and peace. So part of what we want to do as well is, and keep them coming. You can keep bringing up. Thank you. Nice job. Good. Way to go. Way to teach our children about giving. So also, ushers will be collecting the offering. You place the cards in there as well. And we did. If you didn't have to bring one, the ushers do have some, and you can send them in anytime. But we're looking forward to a great year together. We want to share joys and concerns. And our ushers also have the attendance registration pads. They'll be passing those out now, and you can sign them, pass them down the pew. Just note who's worshiping with you. And so I want to give you a chance now. If you've got any joys or concerns that you'd like to lift up at this time, we'll do that now. Go ahead. Oh. Yeah.
Good morning again. I have a joy to share. Our parishioners program has done a lot of changing, and they are now opening up the parishioners program to people who are not nurses to take a program, and they're calling them health advocates. We are very fortunate to have in this church somebody who has taken that class and will be having an anointing ceremony January 26th, and that is Cheryl Ewert. So give her a big hand of applause and welcome her to our program.
Okay, Cheryl's hiding like way up there in the balcony. But as a new health advocate, received specialized training, but assisting our parish nurses in the parish nurse program. Carolyn.
Good morning. I'm Carolyn Keeney, and it's my joy this morning to give a shout out and a great big thank you to the members, some 15 or so, of Rachel Circle, who spent time after braving the cold and the dark to come to the Thrift Center last Tuesday evening to help us with preparation for more winter items. Hats and gloves and scarves and getting out snow pants and hanging all kinds of things for Christmas. It's a busy, busy season, and we are very grateful for their help. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. You know, the many ways that we serve, warming stations, the Friendly Thrift Center, what great, many, many great things that the church is doing together to impact the Quad Cities. Yeah, Darvin.
Darvin Schroeder, remembering in prayer this morning, Jim Ashford, Alcoa retired. He was a child of 1934 and was deceased this past Friday.
Thank you. We'll be praying for Jim and his family. Vern? We also want to be in prayer for the family of Mark Miller. That would be Dan Miller's brother. The funeral was here yesterday at the church. He'd been most recently living in Decatur, Illinois, but the family was here. And so we want to remember Dan Miller and his family on the loss of his brother, younger brother, Mark. Yeah, Linda.
Good morning. I'm Linda Carver. And just a real quick joy that we're starting night coming up. We've got a lot of postcards that is available to everybody in this church to hand out during any time you see somebody new or somebody would be interested. So they'll be at the tables. Thank you.
So Linda, what tables are you talking about? In the back here? Okay, postcards you can just give to somebody. Tell them about One Starry Night coming up in December, a great family event. Yeah, Annie.
Good morning. My name is Val Maher. We have two joys. Our granddaughter, Ruby Hansen, is joining us today. And my husband's sister, Marilyn Baer, is cancer-free, which we're very happy for. And I want prayers for my cousin, Ken Behrens, who just started hospice care.
Okay. Thank you, Val. Prayers for Ken in hospice and a sister. And glad that Ruby's here today. Yeah. Anything else? Well, for our time of prayer, we want to lift these concerns, also the joys, so many things to be thankful for. But we're going to do it as a prayerful time, and we'll listen now to a special song, P.A. Jesu. And I know that's French or something, right?
Latin.
It's Latin. Jeez, I mean. Sorry. This is a serious moment. This is serious, but it's a beautiful piece, and we welcome Emily. So let this truly be a time of prayer as we listen and are blessed by this good piece. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, powerful, awesome God, we thank you for your presence here with us now and for each of the persons that we've named that perhaps have a challenge in their life, an illness, a difficulty, or even that's in our heart that we're aware. It might even be ourself. Dear God, we just praise you that you have heard our prayers and that you will see us through. We're also so grateful for all the many blessings, this good life that you've given to us, and an opportunity to share it with one another. We look to the future with hope, knowing that you are there waiting for us and that you will give us all that we need to make the most of this and every day. We know this because of Jesus, who gave his life for us. And we pray together now the Lord's Prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to share our first scripture reading this morning. It comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, beginning verses 1 through 9. And this is the Old Testament prophet, and I realize I'm in Psalms here. Somebody just turn the page here. There we go. And this is where the prophet is talking about the people of Israel, that he's had a special relationship with them. But it's never meant to be an exclusive, special relationship just with Abraham or his descendants. God's intention always to be a light to all the nations, a help, a guide to the whole world. And so this is the prophet Isaiah speaking, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says the Lord, Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and have kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, in the prisons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, this is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. I'd like to invite the children to come forward now and spend a few moments with Pastor Heather as we sing a song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus.
Good morning. Were you guys listening just now when Pastor Tom was reading something from the Bible? Good job. Did you hear him say something about being a light to the nations? Well, that's one of the things he said. So what does it mean to be a light?
To shine on something.
To shine on something? be like a star.
Or if it's dark.
If it's dark, you need a light on, huh?
Yeah, to shine the light.
So sometimes we talk about light not literally as light, but as making the world brighter, making the world a little better. So what are some ways that you are like light? What are some of the ways that you see things that aren't very good or aren't very nice, and you shine light into the darkness? Do you ever do anything nice?
Yes.
Yes? At bedtime, you turn on your bathroom light, and then you feel better going to sleep, don't you? I do the same thing. How are you like light, Aaliyah? Do you do anything nice for other people to shine light in the world? What two things?
So once in the cafeteria at my school, two of my friends were talking about, like, I want somebody to go vomit in the bathroom.
Ooh.
And I said, well, me and one of my other friends, we both stood out and told them, we don't like this, so can you stop, please? And then they still keep doing it. And then tomorrow, they remembered, and then they didn't do it.
And they didn't do it? I'm going to cut you off at one, okay? I want to hear about the other one over donut holes, okay? I want to hear the other one in a little bit. But she shared a great example of some people saying not nice things in the cafeteria, really kind of gross things about somebody else, and you and your friends said you need to stop that. I think that is a great example. Does anybody else? I can hear one more example of somebody doing something nice. You can shine the light.
Nice,
shining a light when things are not good, things aren't bad, and you're making the world brighter. You got an example for me? That's really nice. Your brother didn't have any paper to draw on, so you gave him some of yours. You gave him half of yours. That's pretty awesome. Well, if you stay in worship, you'll hear more about some of those themes about light. I know some of you guys go to Story Hour, but I've got, and I don't, there's a lot of you this morning. I don't have enough. Well, maybe I do. What are these?
Glow sticks.
What do these do?
They help you see in the dark.
They help you see in the dark, and they're fun. And so I wanted to give each of you a glow stick that you could crack and have for yourself. Just one, because there's more of you than I thought this morning. And it shines light, and it's a reminder for you to be the light in the world. All right, So sit down, and let's pray, and then I'll hand you connectors so you can make it into a bracelet. But you got to sit down. You don't want that one? You want a green one? Well, let's see if we could trade. There's some in the back that you can have, too. Okay. Let's sit down and pray, and then I got some connectors, too. So can you repeat after me?
I'm a green one.
Okay. Can you repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
You have told me
that
I'm the light
of the world.
When I see things
that aren't right
and aren't nice,
help me to shine
your light in the darkness.
In
Jesus' name,
amen.
All right, if you don't like your color, there's some in the back. You can ask an usher for help, okay? Our second scripture reading for today comes from Matthew's account of Jesus' story. We're looking in chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Will you pray with me? Amazing God, when the world feels so dark, when there's another great tragedy, whether it be a national tragedy, a natural disaster, or another senseless violence, open our eyes to look for the helpers and open our hearts to be helpers. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you experience the same thing that I do when I read stories in the news about fractured relationships and about policies that cause more harm than good. I feel as if there isn't any hope, as if the world has grown too dark, as if there's nothing more that could ever be done to keep this world from falling more and more away from God's kingdom. And then Mr. Rogers tells me to look for the helpers. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know there's hope. I wonder if you experience the same thing that I do when I watch Mr. Rogers speak. I feel I can be my very best person. I feel a bit like Fred Rogers did when he was a child and his mother told him to look for those helpers. I feel like there's hope, no matter what else is going on. And then Jesus tells me that I am the light of the world. And it makes me think that my job is to be a light in contrast to the darkness that I see all around me in the world. It makes me think that my job is to drown out the darkness with light. In Matthew's telling of Jesus' story, one of the first things that Jesus does in his ministry is to sit on a hillside and preach. He does this for 3 chapters of the story, saying all sorts of very smart, deep and interesting things. We call this section the Sermon on the Mount. He starts this teaching with what we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in, are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then right after that, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. To my ears, those things that Jesus calls blessings don't exactly sound like blessings. They sound like people I should be sorry for, people in need of help, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the hungry, the thirsty. Those are the people living in darkness. We tend to look at Scripture in a pretty segmented way. We chunk off sections and we look at them independently. But no Scripture stands independent. So if Jesus' comments about being salt and light come right after these Beatitudes, after the blessings, then they're probably a response to the difficulties of the world. Be salt. Be light. Blessed are those who are living in darkness, for they will experience the light of the world. One of the powerful things about the ministry of Mr. Rogers was that he was not afraid to go into the darker places. He was not afraid to acknowledge that kids get angry, they get sad, they have difficult situations to deal with. As much as we'd like children to be protected from darker experiences and darker emotions, that's not the reality of the world. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. And it's our job to do that. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood premiered in 1968, the year the Methodist Episcopal Church and the Evangelical United Brethren Church came together to form the United Methodist Church. That was also the year of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination and the year of Robert F. Kennedy's assassination. Instead of shifting focus to more kid-friendly topics, in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, his puppet, Daniel Striped Tiger, asked the question that so many children that year were probably asking in their homes. This puppet asked, "What is assassination?" The show gave permission for families to deal with the pain and the darkness of the horrors of the world in whatever way worked best for them. Giving them permission to be sad, to go out to take a walk, or to watch the public funeral online. I'm sorry, on television. I'm so used to watching things online. It was a miracle. It gave them permission to watch that funeral together as a family and help explain to their children what was happening. The world is dark, but we can sit in the darkness together and we can take care of each other. You are the light of the world. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In this sermon series, we've had Mr. Rogers offer us some guidance in helping us to understand our membership vows here at the church. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Today, the focus is on service, and I'd say the focus is on being a light in the world. Making the world brighter. What does it mean to be in service to others? I talked about that some last month when I preached the end of our Reckless Love sermon series. It was Emulate Christ. I shared the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and I invited you to come forward in worship and wash one another's hands. It was an emulation of that service and servanthood and sacrifice. Mature discipleship doesn't just mean living for ourselves, it means living for others. It means being in service to others in need. It means being a helper when bad things are going on and being a light in a dark world. One of the things I love about this metaphor is that there are many different kinds of light that provide many different kinds of relief from the darkness. A candle doesn't shine quite the same way as Christmas lights, which don't shine the same way as glow sticks, which don't shine the same way as the screen on your cell phone in the middle of the night. But they all provide light in the darkness, and they all make a difference. There may be different ways that you shine light into the darkness, different ways that you can be a helper. You might be serving within the church as a Sunday school teacher, small group leader, usher, greeter, communion steward, committee member, and others. You might be serving outside the church with the garden ministry, food pantry, the friendly thrift center, at a meal site, or with another ministry opportunity. You might have been a buddy with one of the kids at Thomas Jefferson Elementary School last year, and be praying for a chance to continue that relationship or to form a new relationship with a student at the combined Mark Twain Elementary School. You might have gone on a mission trip or be dreaming of a mission opportunity for us at Asbury within or beyond this community. You are the light of the world. When Jesus says that, it's not a command, it's not a promise, it's not a future way of being, it's a declaration of your current state of being. You are the light of the world. That's just who you are, that's how you are. You are light. And it can't be put out, not by anyone. And in order to live into that declaration, you have to let your light shine in the darkness. You have to dream about how you can be a helper, be the light, and then go shine, go do, go be how God has called you to shine. You are the light of the world. Look for the helpers, Mr. Rogers says. They are there. And as Christians, we are called to be helpers, getting in the midst of the darkness and the muck and the mess and making a real difference. And not just in acts of charity and cleaning up those messes, but in acts of justice, which look at some of the reasons that we have the mess and the darkness in the first place, and changing those systems and the production of those messes to clean up the world and make it full of light. You are the light of the world. An easy place to start is here in the walls of the church. And as a person on staff, I can tell you we are always looking for people to be helpers, to be leaders, to be part of the ministry here at Asbury. Learn how to shine your light the way that God has enabled you to shine. Learn your spiritual gifts. Learn what it means to serve, to give of yourself, to make sacrifices, to help others. Do these things here at this church. But it's easy to see the light when we are in the light. In a room full of candles, the light is beautiful. The light is glorious. But the light is obvious. In order to fully live into Jesus' declaration that we are the light of the world, we have to leave the safety of the lighthouse, the church. We have to go out into the darkness and be the light there where our light shines brighter and makes a difference. We have to go out into the places that are looking for hope, looking for helpers, feeling like there's no solution, and shine our lights there. Archbishop William Temple said, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members. I'll say that again. The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members. We are the light of the world for the world. Our lights are made to shine not for ourselves, not for people who are already comfortable and see the light and know what it is to experience Jesus' light, but those who are living in darkness, who see no hope, who desperately need help. We are the light of the world, and we pass our light on to others. We have candles up here on the chancel to remind us of Christ's presence with us in this space, to signal when they are lit that worship has begun. We have a Christ candle, and then we have two altar candles, which I understand are to point to Jesus' humanity and his divinity. At the end of worship, the light will get carried out of the sanctuary to remind us that it is our job to carry Christ's light out into the world. I love how dedicated Reese and Izzy Bailey are to being our acolytes when they're in worship. I understand Reese is busy this morning, so Izzy's taking a Sunday off. But when you're here, I love that you guys are doing that almost every Sunday. And I don't know if you've noticed that Reese always gets the light from the Christ candle, and after they've both extinguished the flames of the two altar candles, the light gets passed from Reese over to Izzy. Has anybody else noticed that every Sunday? I think it's beautiful. And so last week I said, what is up with this? I think this is really cool. What's the story behind this? Is there a story? I'm sure it symbolizes something that I can use next week in my sermon. Tell me what's going on. So they told me that when they were trained to be acolytes, they were told that they both, at the end of worship, had to light their acolyte stick, the taper, whatever you might call it. They had to light it from the Christ candle and then extinguish these two candles. But at that point, Izzy was too short to reach the candle. I don't think you're too short anymore, I'm sure. So Reese started taking that light and passing it on to Izzy. And together, they could go out into the world and share their light with others. What else do I need to say? When we have caught the light, we want to share it with others. We want to infect them with the light, to show them how to shine their light in the world. A single candle shining in the darkness doesn't make as much of a difference as 100 candles shining when we have learned to pass the light on to others, to give them chances to be helpers, to be light, and to drown out the darkness. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine. Amen.
At this time, we'll receive a special offering, or our normal offering. And again, if you've got the pledge cards, you can place those in the offering plate as well. And we'll be blessed again to hear from Emily Tinsman. The words for this hymn you'll see can be found on 2099 in your Faith We Sing books. If you want to follow along in English, some of the same words that she'll be singing in German. Let's receive our offering as we're blessed again by Miss Iowa, Emily Tinsman, and Rob Swinney beyond the violin. Thank you. Would you stand with me and join in praising God with our doxology? Will you pray with me? Holy One, we thank you for the ways that you have provided us help, healing, and protection in this frightening world. Release us from our fear and inspire us to provide help, healing, and protection for others. We dedicate these gifts for this week and for the coming year that they may be consecrated, made holy by you. We pray that these gifts and pledges will help us in our work to serve others and be a light in a dark world. Amen.
The light of the world. No one, after cracking a glow stick, puts it back in the junk drawer, but they put it on and go to a party and celebrate how it shows light in the darkness. There are glow sticks in the back of the sanctuary, and I invite you to take one. There's connectors in the buckets, too. Take one and enjoy being the light of the world. Maybe go into a bathroom or a closet and remember again how fun it is to have a glow stick. If you are much too mature for a glow stick, Then I invite you to take one and take a little postcard for Starry Night and take the glow stick to a child in your neighborhood that I guarantee they will love the glow stick, and invite them to come to Starry Night and to see more about the light in the darkness. I pray that you have a blessed week as you go out into the world to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Peace be with you.